Webcasting around the world from the desert metropolis of Phoenix, Arizona, this is The Dividing Line. The Apostle Peter commanded Christians to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within us, yet to give that answer with gentleness and reverence. Our host is Dr. James White, Director of Alpha and Omega Ministries and an elder at the Phoenix Reformed Baptist Church. This is a live program, and we invite your participation. If you'd like to talk with Dr. White, call now at 602-973-4602 or toll-free across the United States. It's 1-877-753-3341. And now, with today's topic, here is James White.
And good evening and welcome to The Dividing Line. My name is James White, and it is good to be with you on our first, regularly scheduled Thursday evening broadcast. We've done them on Thursday evenings before, but mainly because we just sort of needed to do that. But this one's actually scheduled and supposed to be doing this fairly regularly on Thursday evenings from now on, 5 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. Those of you who are time challenged, that will change when you all play with your clocks, but we'll always do it at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, which is currently 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but that will be 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and I don't really know why we need all this daylight stuff, anyways. So this evening on The Dividing Line, I have been very kindly subscribed. Don't you love the terminology that that people use when they send you stuff? They send you spam, and they say, if you would like to opt out. Well, I didn't opt in, so why should I have to opt out? I don't understand that part. If you'd like to unsubscribe, I didn't subscribe in the first place. I've been doing about the past 10 days, 2 weeks. All the spam I get, I try to find the to leave click here. Don't you love the ones where you click there and it comes up 441? There's no 440 error. There's no such thing. It's just lovely. Anyways, I think there's one little horn-rimmed glasses guy someplace in a room with a huge server that sends all that stuff out. Anyways, love to find him and. So I've been subscribed without asking to be subscribed to a newsletter. It's Carl Keating's e-letter. Yes, Carl Keating's e-letter. It's a letter that comes out from Carl Keating of Catholic Answers. And so I find that fascinating. So I don't mind being on that list. This is the e-letter for February 25th, 2003, and I was talking about being down in Houston and stuff like that. And then I found this fascinating little section at the end. It's toward the end of Carl's e-letter. And it's entitled Invasion from Mars, so to speak. And guess what? It's M-A-R-R-S. And, of course, as soon as I saw that, I had to smile a little bit because he's talking about Tex Mars. And, you know, he's making fun of Tex Mars, which is very easy to do. In fact, I'll read you a little section here. It says, speaking of being out of balance, please direct your attention, it should be your attention, to Tex Mars, who heads an Austin-based ministry called Power of Prophecy. In his latest newsletter, Mars claims that Masons and New Agers believe that, quote, a catastrophe ominously looms on the horizon, Planet X, a huge planetary body or star, is headed our way. Doomsayers are predicting the marauding planet's elliptical orbit will bring it near to the Earth by this spring or summer, end quote. I love that. A planetary body or star. You know, there's a little difference between those two. You don't have to be our own beloved astronomer, rocket scientist, Balthazar, Wally Bali guy from Australia in our channel to know the difference between a planetary body and a star. There's a few physical differences between the two. But anyways, That's what Tex Mars. Now, of course, he goes on and he talks about how silly this is. And even at the end, it says, if you not wish to receive Carl Keating's e-letter because Planet X will destroy the world, so what's the point? And to change your email address, you'll continue to get my e-letter once Planet X goes on its merry way, et cetera, et cetera. And that's funny. I think that's, I like the humor. And I certainly can join with Mr. Keating in mocking Tex Mars because Tex is goofy. I mean, the best you can do with Tex Mars is to laugh. It's impossible to take him seriously, and you really have to wonder about anyone who even tries to take him seriously. But that, of course, is what brings me to what's sort of funny. And that is the very same Catholic Answers that produces Carl Keating's e-letter has for many years. I mean, you can go back into the earliest publications of Catholic Answers, the first editions of This Rock magazine, and you can find them mocking Tex Mars, because good old Tex is very anti-Catholic, and they're going to say things like that. They're going to quote goofy, weird things where Tex was talking about, you know, how the Pope was probably designing a particular means of controlling the world through a computer or something. You know, who knows what old Tex would come up with. And so you'd expect that. But it's important to note that from the beginning, Catholic Answers has mocked Tex Mars. You're saying, okay, obviously, drop the other shoe. Well, some of you may have read some of the articles we have on our website. And one of them deals with the fact that it wasn't too long ago, about 1996, 1997, Catholic Answers published one of its numerous hit pieces on me. And in the process, they utilized a particular source of information to basically attack me personally. Now, this is very common. In fact, just today, I came in first thing. Whoa, a little bit too much there. I came in this morning, and some of the first things that I encountered were lovely, warm, kind, loving comments from Roman Catholics. I got a some guy. Let's see, what's this guy's name? Michael Bernat, B-E-R-N-A-T. I don't know how it's pronounced. This guy sent me an email at my AOL address. Now, if those of you who are computer people, you know what having an AOL address means. That means that 98% of what will appear in your AOL mailbox will be spam. And if you let it go for a few days, you'll get to see screens full of everything. I mean, financial stuff, stock stuff, enough offers to sell you Viagra that's, you know, it's just absolutely incredible. And basically what I do, and you might say, well, why do you keep it? Well, that address is in some of my old books. And so once in a while, you know, I try to scan through it, but, you know, I do it on the web. I don't do it through AOL. I do it on the web, and I, you know, just sort of scan down, and, you know, sometimes I'll catch some stuff and forward it to my real email address and so on and so forth. Someone kicked that guy out before Gutenberg will do it eventually, I would imagine. Once in a while, there's something there, and I'll grab it. And this guy sent me, I guess he sent me something before, I guess I didn't see it. Whatever. And so the only reason that I saw what he sent me this last time is it just happened, in God's providence, to be the first one on the list. You know, you look at the first one anyways before you start scanning down. And I opened it up and I read it. And it was this, this happens all the time. These folks, if they, you know, he writes and it had something to do with Apollonio Latar and a question about Luther and a few things like this. And so he CCs it to a whole group of people. like Tim Staples, Art Sippo, MJ Bono, all these Catholic apologists, and admitted later he did it to make me respond. Well, again, he's sending it to the wrong email address in the first place. And so he pretty well blew his credibility with me right off the bat. But I responded just to him. I didn't respond to the whole group. I hate when these people set up these little impromptu, let's just put a bunch of people on the CC list and we'll start our own little thing. You have nothing better to be doing in life. You don't, just because you're writing your 19th and 20th books at the same time and articles for other books and going, who cares? You know, you need to have time to, you know, do whatever we tell you to do. So, anyways, I responded to him, and of course, what does he do? He then sends it out to the entire list. And so I open up my mailbox this morning to all these wonderful things. And, of course, Art Sippo, good old Dr. Art Sippo, such a loving man. His first comment is, James White is a liar and the disciple of the father of lies. He has many, and it's I-T-M-E-S, it should be Times, been caught making up things and refusing to justify his allegations later on. He is a poor advertisement for his Religon, which should be religion, but we aren't spelling too well today. I don't mind pointing out spelling errors. If you're going to insult somebody, at least spell your insults correctly. This is how the whole thing, you know, starts. And so there's this whole line of things like that. And, of course, Apollonio Latar, who's a high school student, later on is talking about how he's made a fool of me and stuff like that. And so I invited him, by the way, just to remind everybody, the 13th of March, I think we'll do a sort of little series of Roman Catholic apologists. Aquinas is going to be on. We're going to do the Apocrypha debate on March 13th. That's a couple weeks from now. And then on the 20th, I've invited Mr. Latar to be on. He says he's made a fool of me on the subject of justification, specifically Ambrosiaster. And so, we'll have him on and let him make a fool of me again. But this is what we started with this morning, is these wonderful emails and things like that, these wonderful e-apologists. Well, going back to this story of Carl Keating's e-letter, these hit pieces have been very common over the years, and there's this hit piece from, as I recall, it was James Aiken that wrote it, and it was going after me personally, and it was going after the fact that at that time I was teaching at Grand Canyon University. I had the post of scholar in residence. I was doing some teaching there. And Tex Mars, who, of course, is a King James-only advocate, doesn't like me, had called up and had asked for my office. Well, when you're a scholar in residence, it doesn't mean you have an office on campus. And so he had found out that I didn't have an office on campus. Actually, it's a very small campus to begin with. And so he had put this in a newsletter. Now, he hadn't bothered to ask anybody, you know, what the position was or whether I was teaching or what I was teaching, you know, nothing like that. It's just, well, there's no office, so therefore he must be lying. Well, guess who picked up Tex Mars' allegations against me and reprinted them as if they were a solid source? Yes, you've picked it up. This Rock, published by Catholic Answers. Now, remember, this is after they had already published numerous hit pieces on Mars himself, demonstrating that the guy didn't know what he was talking about. Isn't it interesting? The enemy of my enemy becomes my friend. So I found it very, very ironic that Carl Keating, in the February 25th, Carl Keating's e-letter, would talk about Tex Mars, would rightfully mock Tex Mars, but you know, I've never heard anything from Catholic Answers apologizing for utilizing Tex Mars and completely getting the story wrong. I guess we don't really deserve that anyways, do we? Nah, probably not. Well, hey, 877-753-3341, if Carl Keating's listening this evening, and he'd like to call in and apologize for that, maybe James Aiken, that would be fine, 877-753-3341. Is phone number. I don't know how many of you bother to even listen to network news. I will catch it if I happen to be around. Let's face it. Basically, all network news is the extreme left putting on a play about being journalists. That's really how I feel about it. It is a joke to call this in any way, shape, or form unbiased unbiased news. So I forget why it even. Oh, that's right. I was changing to go out on Tuesday night to go out and work out with the guys in between the. All the leaks in my patio during the big rainstorm. We've just about been washed down the river here in Phoenix of late, and we've needed it, but it's been coming down pretty consistently for a while. Anyways, I was getting changed, and I turned on. I had NBC News on, and there was the very last segment of the NBC. Nightly news with Tom Brokaw was about hate speech. And as I listened to this thing, I stopped and I started watching it, and I just stood there shaking my head. I mean, obviously, these folks no longer think that you even have to try to cover over your gross bias. Bob Faugh was the correspondent, and if you watched it, it's so obvious that these individuals are bending over backwards to give you the most biased. They have a purpose in what they're attempting to accomplish and convincing you of their particular perspective. Not reporting on anything. They want to accomplish something. And so I went to the website. They posted the article. I've downloaded it. And since I am responding to and refuting it, that is fair use. And so I'm going to play you it's a 3-minute and 8-second segment here. I want you to listen. Now, the problem is, by the way, if you want to go see this yourself, it's still there. Because obviously seeing it visually helps. Because then you see the video things they did to create as strong a contrast between what they identify as peaceful, thoughtful Muslims and the obviously dangerous, hate-filled, nasty Baptists. That is the exact perspective they want to communicate. These folks will aid Islam if it means they can express their hatred to conservative Christianity. That's what they're all about. If you want to see it, go to www. Now, obviously, if you're listening by archive, you know, this isn't going to help you a whole lot. It'll probably cycle off eventually. But right now, it's still available. www.msnbc.com/news/877416.asp?0dm equals N19 capital O capital N. Now, I know that's a lot, but if you're listening on the web anyways, you can play it a second time. It's really easy to do. That is the URL. In fact, what I will do here is I will, let's see, text, and we're going to copy it, and I'm going to put it into the channel, and that way folks in the channel who are listening right now, if they would like to watch it themselves, will be able to do so, though that would probably mess up our live streaming. If they were to do so. So anyways, there's the URL. You can watch it yourself. It is so very clear, visually exactly what's going on, but you can hear it when you listen as well. Now, this is a recording of a live streaming, so the quality isn't all that good. You might need to turn your volume up just a little bit to hear it. We'll do our best on our side. But let's first listen to the whole thing as a whole, then I want to go through it, point out the obvious errors, and the obvious bias as it is presented in this particular presentation. Let's listen to it.
Tonight we began an occasional series visiting American cities and towns as the United States moves closer to war. In the days right after 9/11, understandably, there was a great deal of talk in this country about not blaming the attacks on Islam itself or Muslims generally. President Bush visited a mosque and talked about the need for tolerance. Well, apparently that message didn't reach a powerful Baptist preacher in northern Florida. NBC's Bob Faugh tonight on the Christian Fault Lines in Jacksonville.
In Jacksonville, Florida, the hymns are triumphant and the message is bold.
Oh, preach, ladies and gentlemen. Preach, preacher, preach the word.
So bold, some true believers here are terrified.
If I were Muslim, I would be worried.
My worry is great.
They worry because this small Baptist church not only publicly labels Muhammad a murderer, it drives home the theme on its website.
The heartbeat of Islam is hatred and animus.
And the pastor of Jacksonville's powerhouse, First Baptist Church, 25,000 members strong, doesn't mince words either.
Ladies and gentlemen, all religions are not equally true. All religions are not the same.
Vines calls Muhammad a demon-plagued pedophile, and he's not about to back down.
These statements were correct. I have not had any rebuttal from those statements from a scholarly point of view.
Jacksonville Muslims, devout and thoughtful, complain the atmosphere is being poisoned.
They're preaching hate. They're trying to get people who don't know to hate.
Monica Love told her daughters, don't go out dressed like a Muslim. That's how much the preaching has alarmed her.
It incites unrest. It incites a us against them type of mentality.
But in this sun-splashed community, the anti-Islamic statements have been repudiated by only a handful of clergymen.
I think we've got an obligation as Christians to say, you know, there's another voice to be heard here.
While some churchgoers strongly disavow the anti-Islamic remarks,
when I hear that, it really does cut to my soul as a Baptist.
They concede the climate is now so inflamed, a war with Muslim Iraq will only make things worse.
My head tells me that if we're not careful, this will escalate into a religious war.
For many Muslims here, that is not mere speculation.
I think it'll come to the point of violence. If it gets really bad around the world, that people will use that to go after Muslims.
If war begins, though, the question here is who will be touched and how? Bob for NBC News, Jacksonville.
Well, there it is. And the number of absolutely inane errors of logic in that presentation, unbelievable. I mean, I was watching the comments and channels. People were listening to this, and you all caught it. You could hear that, but I think we need to go through it point by point. And I took the time, and I want to thank Sam Shamoon, answeringislam.org. He gave me the references to speed up my research today, and then I pulled them up on my neat new cool program called the Alim, which gives you the Quran, the Hadith, various collections of Hadith, easily available right on your screen, a very useful tool. I pulled up the various Hadith that substantiate exactly what Jerry Vine said, specifically about Muhammad's wife, Aisha, the fact that she was given to Muhammad at age 6 and that the marriage was consummated at age 9, and that the Hadith specifically says this was prior to her entering puberty. And I'll read those specific things as we get to that specific point. But just listen to the language. It's the language that is absolutely positively amazing in this presentation.
Tonight we began an occasional series visiting American cities and towns as the United States moves closer to war. In the days right after 9/11, understandably, there was a great deal of talk in this country about not blaming the attacks on Islam itself or Muslims generally.
Now, stop right there. There was understandably, why? Was there any meaningful discussion? I know that the president spoke about this. He mentions that in a moment. In fact, let's go ahead and...
President Bush visited a mosque and talked about the need for tolerance.
Okay, there's you know, President Bush talked about all the rest of that stuff. We all recognize there are different kinds of Muslims, but almost nothing was said in the majority of the discussion on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, any of the major outlets, of the relationship, the proper relationship, between actions of terrorism and the teachings of Muhammad, the history of Muhammad, the Quran. You had the production of information concerning Muhammad and Islam on PBS that covered over all these things, but there was almost no meaningful discussion of any of that kind of stuff at all. Instead, very, very quickly, there was this, well, we need to be politically correct, we need to be very loving toward Islam, even though all these terrorists were Islam, were a part of Islam. They practiced the religion, they were devout in this religion. We can't let that influence us. Instead, we need to turn our hatred toward Christianity. We've all seen it, and it's weird, but that's what's been going on. And so you have we must have tolerance. So what's tolerance? No one's calling for. Does anyone take the time? I hear this stuff. I get this stuff sent in email. There are some small groups that monitor the preaching of individuals in, you know, Islamic lands, in Arabic, and these individuals constantly call for the destruction of Israel, the destruction of the United States, as a part of their religious belief. Absolutely, positively incredible. Why don't they talk about that? Why won't they point? Are they really saying there's a parallel between the nutty Muslim cleric in London, whatever his name is, don't have his name in front of me, and Jerry Vines in talking about Islam? Notice all the anti-Islamic comments. Anti-Islamic context. Then listen to what they call anti-Islamic comments. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, apparently that message didn't reach a powerful Baptist preacher in northern Florida.
Oh, the message didn't get to him. He hasn't heard about the need to have tolerance, which means don't tell the truth about Islam.
NBC's Bob Faw tonight on the Christian Fault Lines in Jacksonville.
What does that mean? The Christian Fault Lines? What does that mean? I don't understand that. Fault Lines? You mean it's the Christian's fault? What fault line? Where'd that come from? I don't know. Now, at this point, if you haven't watched it, here's the Baptists, and the Baptists are wearing their choir robes, and they're singing, and people are out in the audience, and they're looking up at the big choir, and there's the orchestra and the trumpet players, and you've got the big bad Baptists in their big bad church.
In Jacksonville, Florida, the hymns are triumphant, and the message is bold.
Oh, preach, ladies and gentlemen! Preach, preacher, preach the word!
There's the bold message. Preach the word! Okay, what's bold about that? I don't know. I haven't figured that part out, but that's what we're being told.
So bold, some true believers here are terrified.
Whoa, 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 back up. What have we heard that would substantiate that? Just think about what's going on here. If you're a journalist, don't you report your stuff first? Don't you present the facts so that people can then draw their conclusions? Folks, this is backwards. This is present the conclusions, then present selected, quote-unquote, facts within a context that only supports your conclusion. This isn't journalism. This is propaganda. That's the difference between journalism and propaganda. No question about it. It's absolutely incredible. They're terrified. Well, what if we have to be terrified so far? Preach the word, brother, is all we've heard so far. Now, listen to this. Well, we need to take a break over there. Ye of the greatly powerful, in charge of all that kind of stuff. Yes. Oh, okay. I've got a chat window open to you there, but you could have said that there. But anyways, all right, let's go ahead and I will rest my weary voice here for a moment, and we will pick up at this point on the other side of the break here on the Dividing Line. If you'd like to comment, 877-753-3341, 877 753-3341. And he waits for the music. I don't hear any music. There it is, and we'll be right back.
Answering those who claim that only the King James Version is the Word of God, James White, in his book The King James Only Controversy, examines allegations that modern translators conspired to corrupt Scripture and lead believers away from true Christian faith. In a readable and responsible style, author James White traces the development of Bible translations, old and new, and investigates the differences between new versions and the authorized version of 1611. You can order your copy of James White's book, The King James Only Controversy, by going to our website at www.aomin.org.
What is Dr. Norman Geisler warning the Christian community about in his book, Chosen But Free, A New Cult, Secularism, False Prophecy Scenarios? No, Dr. Geisler is sounding the alarm about a system of beliefs commonly called Calvinism. He insists that this belief system is theologically inconsistent, philosophically insufficient, and morally repugnant. In his book, The Potter's Freedom, James White replies to Dr. Geisler, but The Potter's Freedom is much more than just a reply. It is a defense of the very principles upon which the Protestant Reformation was founded. Indeed, it is a defense of the very gospel itself. In a style that both scholars and laymen alike can appreciate, James White masterfully counters the evidence against so-called extreme Calvinism, defines what the Reformed faith actually is, and concludes that the gospel preached by the Reformers is the very one taught in the pages of Scripture. The Potter's Freedom, a defense of the Reformation and a rebuttal to Norman Geisler's Chosen But Free. You'll find it in the Reformed Theology section of our bookstore at aomin.org. This portion of The Dividing Line has been made possible by the Phoenix Reformed Baptist Church. The Apostle Paul spoke of the importance of solemnly testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. The proclamation of God's truth is the most important element of His worship in His church. The elders and people of the Phoenix Reformed Baptist Church invite you to worship with them this coming Lord's Day. The morning Bible study begins at 9:30 a.m. and the worship service is at 10:45. Evening services are at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday and the Wednesday night prayer meeting is at 7. The Phoenix Reformed Baptist Church is located at 3805 North 12th Street in Phoenix. You can call for further information at 602-26-GRACE. If you're unable to attend, you can still participate with your computer and real audio at prbc.org, where the ministry extends around the world through the archives of sermons and Bible study lessons available 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Dividing Line. My name is James White. Yes, that's, there I am. Okay. Got to fade it out of there a little bit faster now. Anyways, we're playing with new equipment, and they have a new toy over there that's sort of, you know, distracting things right now, I'm sure. Anyways, we are examining a almost frightening example of gross propaganda on the part of the leftist left, known as NBC News. And by the way, I wrote to them. I've never written to them before on anything, but I did this time, and pointed out all the goofiness here. But we're listening to a report by Bob Faw. This is religious bigotry. This is a clear example of leftist religious bigotry. And we've already heard examples of it. Now let's continue a few more.
If I were Muslim, I would be worried.
My worry is great.
They worry because this small Baptist church not only publicly labels Muhammad a murderer, it drives home the theme on its website.
The heartbeat of Islam is hatred and animus.
Okay, now we just threw a bunch of stuff together, okay? These people are worried, and first we talk about a small Baptist church. I don't even know what Baptist church it was. But he says Muhammad was a murderer, okay? What is the logical, rational way of dealing with that? Well, it's simple. You disprove it, right? Can you do that? No. Because Muhammad was a military leader, and he was also engaged in raiding of caravans to obtain loot. He had many, many, many people put to death simply upon his own assertion as an alleged prophet. He murdered people. He was a man of blood. And even if you take the most positive spin you can, just compare the founder of Christianity with the founder of Islam. Massive, massive difference. And so you do this little Baptist church first. They give you a... How long was that cut of the whoever it was that was talking? I mean, it was 5 seconds? What was the context there? Who knows? And it's obvious the correspondent does not care. But you take that, and then all of a sudden, boom, you swish off to Jerry Vines, First Baptist of Jacksonville, big, huge, massive church, and just throw them all together. Don't make any differentiation between what's being said at all.
And the pastor of Jacksonville's powerhouse, First Baptist Church, 25,000 members strong, doesn't mince words either.
Ladies and gentlemen, all religions are not equally true. All religions are not the same.
Now, you got to hear that again. What terrible, horrible example of religious bigotry. What strong words did Jerry Vine say? Well, listen again.
Doesn't mince words either.
Ladies and gentlemen, all religions are not equally true. All religions are not the same.
All religions are not equally true? Heresy! Well, only if you're a leftist liberal postmodernist. Do you hear that? We need to understand. These folks really believe, and you need us in our context, in our culture today, that is heresy. Don't tell me our culture isn't religious. Our culture has the religion, a very strong religion of humanistic postmodernism. And what Jerry Vines said is nothing different than what I have said over and over and over again. All religions are not equal. They can't be. Think about what that would be. All religions are equal. That means God has not spoken. God lied in Jesus Christ. God cannot communicate himself. There is no truth to know about God. I mean, let's start down the road. Bob Vaughn needs to understand that what he's saying here is anti-Christian religious bigotry. Let's identify it for exactly what it is. It is anti-Christian religious bigotry. He needs to be informed that that's what he's engaging in. Maybe he's ignorant. Maybe he doesn't realize. But he needs to be informed of it. And this is the religious atmosphere of our society that allows this kind of thing. And most people probably never gave it a second thought. Probably did not even give it a second thought.
Vines calls Muhammad a demon-plagued pedophile, and he's not about to back down.
A demon-plagued pedophile. Now, those are the terms that came out in a talk that came out right after 9-1-1. Here's how I understand what he said. Demon-plagued would refer to the prophetic trances that Muhammad would go into. The hadith describe what he would do, the shaking and the sweating and the drooling on his beard that would take place when he would receive these quote-unquote revelations. And one could make a very strong case, biblically speaking, that such does indicate demonic activity. I mean, you may disagree with him, you may say it was a physical thing or whatever, but you can't say that he didn't have that kind of an experience based on the official sources of Islam itself, which, of course, I don't think Bob Fah ever looked at, because if he had, then he also would have found out about what the official documents of Islam say concerning this issue of pedophilia. Now, when he said it, there was all this attention that was drawn to it, and so he gave the references, he pointed out, this is what Islamic sources themselves say, and those who work with Muslims know this is something that we have that has been dealt with many, many times. Muslim apologists know what Vines was referring to, etc., etc. But a lot of other people do not. And so, again, I mentioned earlier I was going to read these, so I'm going to read these sections. Again, my thanks to Sam Shamoon for helping me track these things down today. I've pulled these straight from the Alim, the program that contains the Hadith. Now, the Hadith, there's different collections of Hadith. This is from Al-Bukhari. There are other collections as well of the Hadith, the traditions. And these are considered to be authoritative collections from those who were rightly guided to remember the words and deeds of Muhammad. And they become the tradition through which the Quran is viewed. Without these Hadith, it can be argued the Quran, you can't make heads or tails out of it, one way or the other, certainly as Islam has understood it. And so we go to the Hadith. You can find the Hadith online. They are available. Anyway, I posted the URL earlier in the channel today. The Hadith are online. You can check these things out yourself. But in Al-Bukhari, Volume 7, Numbers 64 and 65, you have it repeated twice in basically the same words. We read this. That the Prophet married her, that's Aisha, when she was 6 years old, and he consummated his marriage when she was 9 years old, and then she remained with him for 9 years, that is, till his death. That's Al-Bukhari, Volume 7, Number 64, Number 65 says, yes, thank you, that was just posted back in the channel again, you can check these for yourself. Number 65 says that the Prophet married her when she was 6 years old, and he consummated his marriage when she was 9 years old. Hisham said, I have been informed that Aisha remained with the Prophet for 9 years till his death. That is twice repeated in the Hadith. Now, then we also have, in the same collection, Volume 7, Book 62, Number 88, these words. The Prophet wrote the marriage contract with Aisha while she was 6 years old and consummated his marriage with her while she was 9 years old, and she remained with him for 9 years till his death. Then, in Volume 8, Book 73, Number 151, we read these words, and these are significant. This is the wife herself narrating. She says, I used to play with the dolls in the presence of the Prophet, and my girlfriends also used to play with me. When Allah's apostle used to enter my dwelling place, they used to hide themselves, but the Prophet would call them to join and play with me. The playing with the dolls and similar images is forbidden, but it is allowed for Aisha at that time, listen to this, as she was a little girl not yet reached the age of puberty. Let me repeat that. I used to play with the dolls in the presence of the Prophet, and my girlfriends would also play with me. When Allah's apostle used to enter my dwelling place, they used to hide themselves, but the Prophet would call them to join and play with me. The playing with the dolls and similar images is forbidden, but it is allowed for Aisha at that time, as she was a little girl not yet reached the age of puberty. That again is from the Al-Bukhari collection, Volume 8, Book 73, Number 151, something that obviously Bob Faw could have looked up had he wanted to. That's what journalists are supposed to do anyways, but did not. I did send the URL to the collections to NBC in case they would like to maybe look those things up for themselves. But you see, this is the source of what Jerry Vine says. But you see, that's irrelevant to Bob Faw and to postmodernists. Because you see, the heresy is even being concerned about such things because it's appearance that matters, not factual evidence. It's how he said it. It's the context in which he said it. That's all that matters in postmodernism. All this stuff about being concerned about whether he was right or wrong is irrelevant. Utterly irrelevant in the thinking of many people in our modern context. Well, let's continue on.
Vines calls Muhammad a demon-plagued pedophile, and he's not about to back down.
These statements were correct. I have not had any rebuttal from those statements from a scholarly point of view.
Okay, did you notice what he just said? I have not had any rebuttals from a scholarly view. But he's right. That's because there aren't any. You can't refute what he said. And they're not even going to bother trying. Now, if you haven't watched it, here comes this shift. And now they're going to show you the peaceful Muslims praying, and there is a specific contrast between the down-home Southern white boys in the choir doing their down-home Southern hymns in the big, bad, hate-filled Baptist church, and the peaceful Muslims, and the spokesperson they got. He speaks English perfectly. He looks very thoughtful. And listen to how Bob Faw describes the Muslims.
Jacksonville Muslims, devout and thoughtful, complain the atmosphere is being poisoned.
They're preaching hate.
Did you hear that? That's not journalism. How does he describe them?
Jacksonville Muslims, devout and thoughtful.
Devout and thoughtful. What is that meant to communicate? That the people he was just talking to are neither one. They're not thoughtful. They're just up there doing their dance and doing their thing, you know. And now we're going to talk to a very devout and thoughtful Muslim. It's racist. It's not just religious bigotry. It's racist. It's incredible. How could...
Jacksonville Muslims, devout and thoughtful, complain the atmosphere is being poisoned.
They're preaching hate. They're trying to get people who don't know to hate.
Okay, now back up the truck here a little bit. I missed the hate part. Oh, no, wait. I need to listen to these as postmodernists. Of course, the Muslim guy's not a postmodernist, is he? Of course not. This guy knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what his compatriots in Pakistan are preaching. But I have to think like a postmodernist, wait a minute. He said the truth about Muhammad, so that's hateful. That's hateful, even if it's true. Truth is irrelevant. No, Bob Faw, F-A-W is the last name, if you look it up. And so, see, they're preaching hate. Where did they say we're to hate Muslims? I can guarantee you if they bothered to actually play the rest of what Vines said, he was calling for missions work. I believe they were Southern Baptist missionaries that were murdered recently at a hospital. It was in Yemen or Kuwait, in one of those two places. By whom? Well, it wasn't by Baptists. It wasn't your local Mormon missionaries. No, it wasn't. It wasn't your local atheist chapter. It was by the same religion that was followed by every single one of those terrorists on the planes on 9/11. That's amazing. What? Just you listen to this and you just go, can't you see the utter bias here? Where is this hatred? Calling for, again, to a postmodernist, to call for missions, to call for the proclamation of the gospel, that is hateful to the postmodernist.
Monica Love told her daughters, don't go out dressed like a Muslim. That's how much the preaching has alarmed her.
Oh, now let's throw in a little emotion to make sure the brain doesn't start thinking here and notice all the gross inconsistencies. Them Baptists, they're so bad and they're so hate-filled, we can't even dress in our traditional dress because they're going to get us because they're saying that all religions aren't equal. Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is as bad racism in reverse as the KKK was back in the 50s. But no one can say that, of course, because it's okay to do that. That's politically correct. NBC and ABC and CBS, they can define what's politically correct.
It incites unrest. It incites a us against them type of mentality.
Have you read the Quran recently? You want us against them? There's the Quran. We could cite numerous citations from the Quran all about that. Let's go listen to the official government newspapers in Egypt or Saudi Arabia or Pakistan. Maybe we could go to the Sudan and get the official government perspective of the Muslim government that constantly bombs Christian hospitals. Let's see where that's coming from.
But in this sun-splashed community, The anti-Islamic statements have been repudiated by only a handful of clergymen.
Oh, only a handful of clergymen have joined us in our postmodern denial of absolute truth.
I think we've got an obligation as Christians to say, you know, there's another voice to be heard here.
What's the other voice, fellow Christian man, whoever you were? Are you going to say that Muhammad did not have Aisha? Are you going to say that the Quran does not call for example, for people to stop confessing the truth of the Trinity, and that God will be witness against them and they will receive God's wrath the day of judgment if they do not abandon belief in the Trinity? Are you going to say that that's not true? Are you going to deny Islamic history? What's the other word to be heard? I'm not sure what it is.
I think we've got an obligation as Christians to say, you know, there's another voice to be heard here.
While some churchgoers strongly disavow the anti-Islamic remarks,
when I hear that, it really does cut to my soul as a Baptist.
When you hear what, honey? Where did they dig these people up? I looked at these people that they tracked down, I'm sitting here going, you've got to be kidding me. You couldn't come up with somebody else. You find some layperson someplace. You throw out, and y'all noticing something here? The anti-Islamic thing. Isn't that word anti-wonderful? How many times, those of you who are familiar with this ministry, familiar with what's happened in dealing with Mormons and Roman Catholics and all the rest of that stuff, how many times does it become so convenient to just simply throw out that term anti? Oh, you're an anti-Mormon. We had a guy in channel today, a Mormon fellow. And it didn't take any time at all. As soon as you challenged him, anti-Mormon, anti-Catholic, anti-this, anti-that. If you dare speak the truth about me, you are anti, and no one wants to be anti, therefore, you must be a terrible, bad, horrible person.
When I hear that, it really does cut to my soul as a Baptist.
They conceive the climate is now so inflamed, a war with Muslim Iraq will only make things worse.
The climate is so inflamed. And what's playing in the background? The piano music from First Baptist. It's their fault. They've inflamed the climate. I really don't think that Jerry Vines would probably have ever said almost anything about Islam. We all do series on stuff. I had spoken about Islam before then. But I really don't think he would have made the comments that he did if it hadn't been for the fact that we were attacked by Muslims trying to get to heaven. Let's not forget that. And that everyone watched this. Don't blame it on First Baptist. That is so ridiculous to blame this kind of stuff on people who are saying not all religions are the same. We need to evangelize these folks. We need to see their hearts changed by a work of God within their hearts. Oh, that's terrible. That's hate speech. And you wonder why some of us go, hey, in any way, shape, or form, support this hate crime stuff. Because talk about something that can be used, and here you hear it, used to silence any type of proclamation that is against the orthodoxy of the culture. And the orthodoxy of the culture is obviously modernistic humanism.
My head tells me that if we're not careful, this will escalate into a religious war.
A religious war. Folks, you need to understand something. The people that flew the planes into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon already knew that.
For many Muslims here, that is not mere speculation.
I think it'll come to the point of violence. If it gets really bad around the world, that people will use that to go after Muslims.
If there was a scintilla of fairness in NBC, what you would have to do at this point would be to talk about Indonesia. You would have to talk about the Sudan. You would have to talk about Pakistan. You would have to talk about what happens on a daily basis in almost every single nation that is run by Islam. And that is the murder, imprisonment, and beating of innocent Christians on a daily basis. Something that if these folks really believed, even in a slight way, in what they're actually talking about, they'd have to be covering on a regular basis. But they don't. Because you see, it's a group that you can do that to. From their perspective, they're doing it right here. Why should they care? And then it goes back to pictures of the crazy Baptists in their church. Oh, you can just hear the southern bluegrass music. A bunch of hicks from the sticks. There they are out there, and they're dancing around, and boom, boom, boom. Got the bass going, you know. And then, you know what? Did you hear what they were singing? He touched me. He reached out and touched me. Listen to this.
If war begins, though, the question here is who will be touched and how?
Do you hear that? If war begins, who will be touched and how? Go from the mean, nasty, hate-filled Baptists. And they're going to attack these peaceful, devout, loving Muslims. This is, I mean, who paid for this? I mean, you can't buy propaganda like this. And they call this journalism? Oh, unbelievable. What? It is insulting to me. Insulting that these folks would even call this journalism. Do they really think we are that completely daft?
And how?
And how?
Bob for NBC News, Jacksonville.
Well, thank you, Bob. We really appreciate this tremendous example of pure propaganda, bias of the first rank. We could have used some facts, would have been nice, maybe just a little bit of something that would have been, meaningful and true, but no, we didn't get any of that. And yes, I did take the time to write to NBC News and tell them what I thought of their propaganda piece. And if you'd like to as well, now that you have heard it, I'll give you the email address here. I had to search around for it. It is nightly@nbc.com. Nightly@nbc.com. You can let them know what you thought about it as well, because I think people need to know that some of us out here still listen, and we recognize when you are playing games with our minds, and you are in essence saying if you're a Christian, you're a hate-filled individual if you believe what you say you believe. That's what we're up against, folks. We need to pray for this nation, and we need to be faithful in the proclamation of the truth, and we need to be faithful in the recognition of what's really important. Well, thanks for joining us on the Dividing Line tonight. Next Dividing Line is not Saturday. No, you need to adjust your thinking. Tuesday morning, 11 a.m., right here, same station, which is the Internet. We'll see you then. God bless.
The Dividing Line has been brought to you by Alpha and Omega Ministries. If you'd like to contact us, call us at 602-973-0318 or write us at P.O. Box 37106, Phoenix, Arizona 85069. You can also find us on the World Wide Web at aomin.org. That's aomin.org, where you'll find a complete listing of James White's books, tapes, debates, and tracts. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for The Dividing Line.